You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
Sometimes in business, it's not good enough until you have your name on the wall or your name on the building. And my final guest for this week's, for today's show, is a gentleman who has done exactly that and done it before anyone else has done it. I'm, of course, referring to the one of the founders of the old Sizwe Nzaluba and Gobodo. I'm joined in studio by the business icon that is Sizwe Nkasana. Malume Sizwe, thank you so much for coming into studio. This is probably one of those conversations where it becomes a little difficult to start because there's so many different things to get into. But I suppose a good starting point is, how does one build the first black audit firm in the country in the middle of apartheid before we kind of transition into democracy? And that's the start of a very lengthy business journey.
Well, for starters, it wasn't the first, by the way. Professor Wazban Gutlu had started the first audit firm that's black owned in Umtata. Mine was the first in KwaZulu-Natal way back in the 80s. So we were serving a need which was not met and not served by the traditional firms at the time. And understanding that this was a very difficult time getting out of, or in apartheid actually, where the only audits we could do were essentially NGOs, especially those that were more progressive and were trying to support South Africa's move towards democracy. Otherwise, it was law firms and doctors and other professional people who needed services of accountants were qualified. So that's the kind of work that we're doing in the earlier years. It took me a while, actually, even after having qualified as a CA, to get into it. It took me about 2 years where I was trying to figure out what this was going to be about, what the business model was going to be about. And then eventually I got started. And I was traveling all over the country, particularly in KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng at the time, serving clients, and the need just grew. And because my wife was a medical doctor at the time, my client base was mainly doctors, a few lawyers, shopkeepers, a few NGOs, and it really just grew. And we used to travel throughout the country, starting by employing just one person who was a receptionist and a bookkeeper, and then the firm grew, and suddenly we had a whole office. And we established a branch in Johannesburg because obviously being the economic hub, it was natural that there would be a bit more work in Johannesburg. And then one thing led to the other, and that's how Sizwe Nzaluba Gobodo was created. Initially, it was Nkonki Sizwe Nzaluba. So we started off as Sizwe & Company, then merged with the firm in Umtata, which was Nkonki & Nkonki, and then Sango Nzaluba, who was operating in Johannesburg, and we created this national firm, which, yes, today is the fifth largest firm of auditors and accountants in the country.
What does success in business look like to you? Because as someone who has done it privately, and then gone and done it at an SOE, and then gone and done it as the CEO of First Rand, I imagine you would have experienced so much in that journey and along the way, whether it's within these organizations or in your personal capacity. What would you say defines success in business?
Oh, there are many different dimensions. It's quite a complicated question because there are leadership dimensions in establishing a business. There are mindset dimensions. You know, you've got to have a certain mindset that you're going to be an entrepreneur or an intrapreneur. Like, for instance, if you are operating within a telecom or within a First Rand, as an example, there are still similar kind of things that you have to do in those institutions that what you do when you're starting your own business as an entrepreneur. But essentially, the dimensions which are really important to me have been about making a difference, have been about leadership, have been about purpose. Because when you look at, for instance, all those businesses that I've been involved in, the way I've always thought about, you know, my role in those businesses has been about, you know, like in Sizwe & Company, as I said earlier, you're serving a need, you're training young accountants. So it's really, really difficult as a black person in those days to find any firm that was prepared to sign you up and train you as an accountant and give you articles of clerkship, which is the practical training to become an accountant. So we wanted to create a home because the firms where we would have been trained, you know, the first batch of, say, maybe 20 accountants in the 80s would have been trained mainly in the Africana firms that were doing work in the homelands at the time. So it wasn't home for you. You were sort of trying to assimilate into this sometimes very hostile environment where you didn't quite belong. Yes, you made, you know, your way up the ladder, but it was not home. So there was a purpose of creating something where a lot more young people could feel like they're at home. And then, you know, fast forward to Telkom. Telkom was quite an interesting one because we were emerging out of apartheid, obviously, in 1997. Government was trying to now figure out how to run state-owned enterprises or state-owned companies. And they had a particular mandate. Like at Telkom, the mandate was, let's train black engineers and technicians. Let's include women. Mm. Let us connect people that were underserved. Because as far as the previous regime was concerned, you know, a lot of white people would have been connected to communications or telecommunications at the time. And let's prepare the company for efficiency, which ultimately would lead to a listing of that company. So that appealed to me quite a lot because, you know, you had a company here at Telkom, which at the time touched the lives of every single person in the country, even those that were not served, because we all need, you know, communications. So that was really important. And, you know, for my just over eight years at Telkom, we accomplished a lot of those things, which was about change and inclusion and development and skilling people and so on. And then at First Rand, it was also about, you know, financial inclusion is still a big issue when you think about it. But also, you know, for me, there was also a personal side of, you know, having run a state-owned company, can you run a private sector company with the very different dynamic with founders who had started the company and took it really to a point where it was one of the largest banks, not just in South Africa, in the African continent. And, you know, you come in as the first batch of a professional manager or professional managers, you know, in that kind of environment. And can you really make it work? So there's an element of proving yourself, or maybe proving to yourself that you can actually do this. It was the case as far as I was concerned. And yes, it was a successful 10-year journey at First Rand. And then after that, it's been a purpose of what we do about skilling and training the young people, our children. What kind of education system do we want to have? And how do we build the skills and competences of young people to address some of the fundamental issues that we face in South Africa? Unemployment, inequality, and all of this. And that's how I started Sifiso Learning Group, which has four companies within it. They're all education related. We have schools, Future Nation Schools. We have Future Nation College, which is a teacher college. We have Sifiso EdTech, which is an education technology company. And we have a real estate in education company. So, but the fundamental purpose there is about how do we develop and train young people.
If you're just tuning in, folks, we're in conversation with Sizwe Nklasana, who is the founder and CEO of the Sifiso Learning Group. But I'm sure everybody knows the name from different businesses that he has led and founded in the past. We're taking a look at success within business and how we navigate that space. Well, Ms. Sizwe, you mentioned the education side of it, and anyone that knows even a fraction of what you've done and your history and your involvement with things like the National Education Collaboration Trust, it's a very clear thing that this for you is almost a North Star. It's a passion. It's a very focal point for you to say, I need to empower those around me. But more so than that, I think it's something that resonates with yourself, but also with Dr. Dlamini, having met her as well. How do you stay as focused and as humble as you are, considering everything else? I mean, if we look at the resume on paper, there are very few resumes in the country that would be as impressive. But as an individual, you still find the time to give back, the time to be involved, the time to say, I want to pursue the things that make a difference. Because it's very easy to pursue money.
Sure. So, I mean, yes, it is driven by passion, my passion in education. Because, you know, typically when people retire from corporate life, and I'm generalizing here, people would sit on boards and you have time to do those things that are important to you, which may be leisure kind of things. For me, it was quite different. You know, South Africa is a wonderful place. It's a wonderful country, you know, because every challenge and every problem that we have in this country, in fact, in this continent, presents an opportunity to do something. And I wasn't about to do what, you know, maybe other people do who've been successful in corporate and sit on boards and maybe travel and play golf and those kind of things. Solving the problems in education was really, you know, this chapter of my life after corporate, after the privileges that I've enjoyed in this country was really particularly important. Yes, I'm a co-founder of the National Education Collaboration Trust, the NECT. We work with the Department of Basic Education. We are in more than 20,000 schools out of the 25,000 schools in this country. We help and support the Department of Basic Education under Minister Zivile Gwahube now to deal with a whole lot of the issues, from how we train teachers to the curriculum issues to service delivery on the ground. So over the last 12 years, we've been really successful in supporting the department at national, provincial, and even just at a very local school level to do the things that it's supposed to do. We run a budget today, which is quite significant, supported by a number of corporates, both local as well as international, plus government itself, because they've seen the impact that we can bring. You know, I was the chair, non-executive chairperson of the National Student Financial Aid Scheme during the hashtag Fees Must Fall period. And coming out of that, it was quite clear to me that there are a number of things that need to be addressed in terms of how students who come from poor and working class backgrounds are supported. And hence, I started IKusasa Student Financial Aid Program. Over the last, you know, 8 years, we've raised more than 2 billion rand, funded thousands of students at universities that are pursuing occupations in high demand, engineering, actuarial science, medicine, you name it. You know, so that's grown quite significantly. And obviously, education is where I am now. So if you look at the whole ecosystem, I don't serve on corporate boards other than foundations and trusts that are involved in education, otherwise my own social investment companies, Sifiso Learning Group, that Moaifa and I, you know, started. So, yeah, that's what we do.
Well, it's clearly still success in business. It's just a different form of success, because having hit the pinnacle on the corporate side of it, at some point, I suppose you do then wonder, what do you do from here? That being said, what is the one kind of life lesson you would want to impart on the youth of today, having been to the very top of the mountain in the corporate space, having achieved everything that is achievable in that space, and sitting now in a position where you're saying you're not done, you're definitely still very active in the things that are important to you, what would you say to someone out there that is looking to either get into corporate or either looking to make a difference in a social kind of space? What's the one piece of advice that you'd give?
Well, you know, it's really, really difficult for a lot of young people. It was difficult during our times. It's been difficult for people that are younger than us. But it is difficult. You know, you're growing in a country where we have not solved the problem of unemployment. We say to young people, go and get educated, and that's going to be a passport to you growing your career, establishing yourself, starting a family, and really creating something out of your life. Mm. But we know that there are a lot of young people out there who are frustrated because mm-hmm. what they were told has not materialized. Mm. Education, yes, they may have, but they are still grappling and battling. So what I would say to a lot of young people is, you know, you just got to keep going. You just got to, sometimes you have to humble yourself to go backwards, to be able to go forward. Let me give you an example. You know, when I got into education, I wanted to really understand what learning and teaching is all about. And a lot of people my age wouldn't go back to school, right? So I did teaching. So both my wife and I are qualified teachers now. During COVID 2021 and 2022, I registered at UNISA, did teaching. I'm a qualified teacher. A lot of people would, especially if you've been successful, wouldn't really do that. You know, because you're in at university with young people that are in their early 20s and that kind of thing, you know, and your ego sometimes gets in the way, which I haven't allowed for that to happen. So, and I'm doing a PhD now. So learning never stops. Just keep going, create networks, build those skills and competencies that are going to help you, which are about, for instance, what your mindset, thinking about what you do every day. How do you make sure that you are giving yourself, because people are not necessarily going to give you those skills of resilience, of networking, of persistency, of, you know, succeeding even after you failed a couple of times and picking yourself up. So and a lot of those self-help skills are really, really, really important for a lot of young people. Even if you are employed and maybe you've started a business, which is really hard. It's difficult. You need a lot of resilience when people are telling you it can't be done or you are facing failure in whatever it is that you are doing. So resilience is really, really important. It's a skill and a competence that all of us need to get ahead.
Wise words, sage wisdom, and I think we'll leave the conversation on that very, very powerful note, because I couldn't have put it better myself, and it's better that you hear it from someone that's actually got lived experience through that journey. Thank you so much, Malume Sizwe, for joining me in studio. Sizwe Nklasana, who is the CEO and founder of the Sizwe Learning Group, joining us in studio to wrap up our special edition of Success Within Business.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.